Good morning, everyone, and happy eighth day. I say that a little reluctantly because it's also the end of the feast. It's always good to be here, immersed in God's way of life with all of God's people, and it's a little bit sad that soon we'll have to leave. And you know, it's traditionally called by the church the last great day, and it is a great day because we know our God is merciful. We know our God is loving and gracious, and He has a plan and purpose for everyone who has ever lived. You know, people you might know, your neighbors, your friends, relatives, all will have an opportunity to know God. And that just shows how our God cares about everyone. And we're so thankful for that. Now, first, I would like to thank especially the Italian brethren for their hospitality and all the service I've been involved in preparing for feast and working at the feast. And I know how much hard work there is in serving. And we know that serving is love in action, and it's a godly love. And I just want to thank everyone who served and made this feast so enjoyable for everyone. At this feast, we have been blessed to hear that God has a plan to bring real change in a better world. You know, a lot of people talk about change. It's the political season back home in the United States, and people talk about change. But it's really more of the same. But God is going to bring real change to this world, a better world. Christ at His return will end the chaos and bring peace and order. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 9, and we'll read about that. And while we read that, I want you to think about how this will impact those who are resurrected in the second resurrection. You see, they've never heard this before. To God is an unknown God to them. He is a mystery because they've been blinded by Satan. So they don't know Him as we do through His Holy Spirit. You know, probably most of those who have resurrected in the second resurrection have never read the Bible. They've had really no contact with God and His way. So let's turn to Isaiah 9, and we'll begin in verse 6. Well, we'll have a very short and concise version of God's plan of salvation for all mankind. Verse 6 of Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of His increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. Forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." So as I said from the beginning, on the last great day, it is great. And God is merciful. And from the beginning, He gave His Son, just a human being, weak and fleshly, who sacrificed Himself for all mankind to start the plan of salvation and bring it to this point, the eighth day, when all will have an opportunity to know him. You know, you might remember the story in Acts 17 where Paul went to Athens and pointed out to them that they had a statue of the unknown God, and they didn't know who he was at that time. So how much more will God be a mystery and unknown to those resurrected at that time? And we will be the ones to help them to understand who God is and many more like us. So what a great opportunity our God has to be able to participate in his plan of salvation. Brethren, Christ living in us should compel us to action, like giving an offering. So if anyone needs an offering envelope, would you please raise your hand and an usher will provide one for you. So now I'd like to give three reasons why we give an offering. What is the purpose of this sacrifice that we make? And it is a sacrifice for many. Let's turn to a familiar scripture, Deuteronomy 16. And the first reason, the first point is why we give an offering is because God commands it. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in a place which he has chosen, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before him empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So we can clearly see that this is a command from God. And it's just not a tradition of the church that we've come up with. It's not an invention of the church. It's a commandment from God. Now the next point on why we give an offering, it is to worship God and to honor him. Now let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. And you know, we've got to enjoy some good wine here at the feast. I know last night my son bought some Barolo that has the wine of kings. And so for just a short period, I could imagine myself as a king. So that was a real treat. But God blesses us because we tithe. We save our second tithes. And we give offerings. God is testing us to see if we are willing to put him first in our lives over our own interests. How we spend our money says a lot about our priorities and our character. Giving a little now will bring abundant blessing in the future. And you always have to have the goal in mind when you're giving an offering to God. You know, you don't receive instant blessings. It's not instant gratification. Now the last point, point three. Give so the word can go out to all the world. You know, isn't that our purpose? To obey Christ's command, to preach the gospel to everyone. Now let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, and I'll read it from the New American Standard Bible, We'll begin in verse 7 of Matthew 10. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who are with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely you will give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or do a bag for your journey, or even two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is deserving of his support. So how does the worker get his support? He is given his support through the generous tithes and offerings of God's people. And with our contributions, we will help accomplish the work of God. Brethren, it is a blessing to share the calling with others. And now we will soon take up the offering, but before that, we will start with a piano solo titled, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, from the Psalter, the Scottish Psalter of 1650, performed by Jack McClure.